Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit, soften our hearts, that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds, that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills, that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry out? All people are grass. Their consistency is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Listen to the word of God from the third chapter of Ecclesiastes. "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker for his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the sons and daughters of men and women to be busy with. Elohim has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, God has put eternity into our minds, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end." May God bless this reading. Holy wisdom, holy word. This morning, I'm going to ask us all to look at Memorial Day not just from the standpoint of the military and of our being at war at different times and celebrating veterans, even though that is extremely important, but to look also at Memorial Day as a day to remember relationships, of which it is anyhow, is a time to remember relationships. And many of us have been through a lot of seasons. I hate to say that for me, I'm in the early or the mid-fall or early winter of my life. And I want to thank God for relationships, not just with God, but also for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I brought something with me today as a picture, just to make sure that people understand what it is. And I came to this realization that Anita and I went to a fly-in in Florida this winter called Sun and Fun. And I got the blankest stares from people when I would say a fly-in. They said, "Well, what is a fly-in?"
And I says, well, it's sort of like a state fair for people who are pilots and love airplanes. And so, in case there's some here who don't know, my first illustration this morning is about a B-17. Now, Steve Smith helped me with this. He's also a pilot, and he's a computer person, so he was able to find this picture of a B-17. But my story that I want to share with you about that took place maybe 15 years ago. We were living in Bloomington, Illinois, and it was in the middle of July, and the Confederate Air Force, which is a group of pilots who want to preserve World War II airplanes, they're based in Texas, I believe. They to make that trip, they didn't have enough money. So what they did was they stopped at airports along the way and give rides to people. Well, the experimental aircraft club that I was a part of in Burlington or Bloomington, we decided that we would help them. And so my task in volunteering was to sit under one of the wings and sell trinkets. And other people then gave tours through the airplane. Well, there was this old gentleman in a wheelchair, and I believe he was being, this is my assumption, that he was being pushed by his daughter. And they came through the gates, and the first place that they went, if you can imagine this plane being parked, they went to the front where the turret was, and he sat there, and he looked, and he looked, and finally, without a word, he nodded to her, and she pushed him to the right wing, and they stayed there for a while, and the next wasn't long, and they were at the back to where the gunner was. And then they finally came over to the side to where I was sitting underneath. And I was struck by that point by this gentleman. He had tears running down his cheeks. And he sat there for a long time in his wheelchair without saying a whole lot, without saying anything. And then finally, he nodded to his daughter, and they left. And I know nothing about him, where he was from, or anything. But I'm sure, as you can imagine, as I do, that he was living some of his experiences of flying over Europe in one of these B-17s. And it was an interesting time watching that gentleman. And it has been with me ever since about Memorial Day and the importance of Memorial Day for all of us. For it was not just the experience that he had, but it was how he was conveying that experience to his daughter. My next story, and sometimes I tell sermons and nothing but stories and let you put the points in between together, because I'm sure most of us can do that. We were living in Cleveland, Ohio, and I was an interim in Parma, Ohio. And we were there, I was in the church there for 39 months. It was a long interim. And one of my parishioners was a mortician. And every once in a while, he would call me and say, Gary, we got a parishioner and that passed away, and he was a World War II veteran, and he wants to be buried in the cemetery that's on the way to Columbus. It's about halfway down. I don't remember the name of the town that's close to it. Well, it was a 30 to 45 minute trip. And you know, you make that trip several times, you find out that after a while, there's not a whole lot for you and a mortician to talk about. But one of the things that we kept bringing up was the fact that many of our World War II veterans, and this was 7-8 years ago, that they were dying quite frequently, and if they weren't, they were in nursing homes. And that generation is now pretty well passed away. But this isn't part of my sermon, but I got another story I got to tell you. It's just it blew my mind. Or it's two. You know, they don't have trumpeters anymore like we have beautiful trumpeters here. And so they got these trumpets that have a recording in them. And, oh, it sounds tinny. Because the trumpeters have passed away. And they didn't have people to do that anymore. But the other thing was that the soldier, male or female, was buried on the front side of the tomb. And did you know, anybody have a guess? Nita doesn't count on this. Anybody have a guess how many spouses that a military person can have and be buried with? They'll go three deep behind the stone. So it has nothing to do with my sermon, but it's I found it to be kind of an interesting little story. But I'd also like to mention something that I think is very important to us. And I thank God that we're doing this. And George Ritchie is one of the organizers, is a member of our church here, of the honor flights that's taking place to Washington, D.C. And Dwight Schaefer is one of the people who's been there. And if you ever visit him in the nursing home, he usually has his hat on when I'm there, the flight hat. And the other one is Bill Oglesby. He's been there. And they'll attest to you the how much they appreciate having had that opportunity to do that. But moving on to other parts of our lives, I'd like to share a second with you about my first encounter of my salvation. It's just part of my relationship with God. Did you know, I discovered that the important part of my salvation was when I went to church to have clean ears. Every morning, you might have done this, before we reached half a mile in the car, my mother would turn to me and say, Gary, give me your ears. And then she would take her handkerchief out and put spit on it and clean my ears. And after a while, I began to think, you know, my salvation must depend upon having those clean ears. I have a very good friend who's down in South Carolina. And I shared this story with him after I realized this. He says, well, it wasn't clean ears in my family. It was having clean underwear on Sunday morning. But you know, many of us have lived through many years. And we know the story of Ecclesiastes. And we've lived through many of the times that are there. And I was impressed last Sunday with our graduates and how they are now at the beginning of their time of living through the seasons. They won't have any real guarantees that they will go through all those seasons, like our daughter did not go through but one season. But they will experience those seasons as we have experienced them. And I want us to thank God for those seasons that we have experienced. The last two seasons for me, last winter, part of where this sermon originated was when I was in a nursing home recovering with a hip surgery. And I was so thankful that I had a couple angels on my shoulder, because the time was not such that I would not be here. I was able to live through that, the blood clot, and to continue to be here. And, you know, there's no guarantees for us. Early in my ministry, I had a young woman come to me desperate, saying, "Gary, my mother thinks that she's going to die on Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Can you come and talk to her and tell her that that's not going to happen?" And finally she realized that it wasn't for her to determine her time, but it was God who determines that time for us. The seasons of relationships are times to weep and times to laugh. And there are times to mourn. And if we don't mourn, we're not going to have the time to dance. There's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather. And I discovered something about this stones. At the time of Ecclesiastes, that was a form of commercialism. In other words, they were using stones in place of money. My humorous side of me says, maybe we ought to revert to that. That would be a good way to take care of those who have too many stones. A time to cast away and a time to gather. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to seek, and there are times to lose. A time to keep and to cast away and to rend and sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. And there's a time to love and a time for peace. There's two times that really trouble me. And that is the first, the time of war. But the older I've gotten, I'm sure that I, like you, realize that there is evil in the world that is above and beyond any of our capabilities of dealing with. And we see it time and time again. And we see also, as we listened to Sam's sermon last week about the Palestinians, and what he was saying was very true. In my younger life, there was a pastor in Cedar Rapids who was a Lebanese. And he did not have a good feeling towards Israel, because he was also treated as the Palestinians were. And there's a time to hate. And you know, the trouble with hate is that it will destroy us if we allow it to continue to be with us. And you can see hate in some people, and that anger can be there for a long, long time. And it can bring the seasons into another area
of unhappiness. The fact that there is an adequate, appropriate time for every necessity and every element of life is important for all of us. And we cannot determine our own times, for most of their important things that happen to us in life happen not at our time, but at the time of our Savior and of Elohim or God. Nor can we close the business to be busy with, nor can we choose, I'm sorry, I can't read my writing, choose the business to be busy with. That is a gift that comes to us from God. And we can fight those times, or we can dance to them. And it's up to each of us. The old vet in the wheelchair, he was mourning as he was pushed around this airplane. And he was remembering his buddies that flew with him. And who knows, maybe he was even shot down over Germany and was in a camp, prisoner camp. I've had a parishioner who was a B-17 pilot, and he was shot down over Italy and spent a couple years in a camp. His tears were the tears that could allow him to dance. So tomorrow, as we celebrate Memorial Day, let's remember not just those who have served in the service, but let us remember all of our times that we've experienced in God's time. Amen.